We continue in the beauty of God, friends, with our second lesson from Mark's Gospel. We continue in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Last week we had Jesus calling the disciples there in Capernaum. This week he goes further in Capernaum, still working and doing things there. So join me, chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed and kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. One of the truly remarkable things about the Sea of Galilee is, and this is today, is that you can walk around on the same paths that Jesus himself actually took. I've been to the very site of where today's gospel story unfolds, the actual synagogue in Capernaum. Of course, it looks a little different today. It's missing a roof, but most of the building, a good part of the building is still there. What is also missing, though, when I was there with our group, was a large number of people, right? The people from the town. Sure, we were there as pilgrims, but the synagogue was the center of the town. It was where people gathered. It's where people conducted town matters. It's where people worshiped. It's where things mattered, especially on a Sabbath day. On the Lord's Day. And that's also when Jesus and where Jesus introduced himself to the world. When you introduce yourself, how do you do it? What do you say? I mean, sure, once we get past the name, right, and maybe where we're from, it's very easy to present ourselves with regard to what we do, right? "Hi, my name is Pete, and I'm soon to be in Farmville, Virginia, and I..." You know what comes next, right? Probably what I do. You know, I could talk about my family history. You know, my people are from upstate Ohio. I could talk about my family situation, being married with three daughters. My hopes and dreams. I hope you all find a blessing today here somehow. But what is easier to relate to is what I do for a job, right? I mean, this is how we probably present ourselves if we're still working, or if maybe how we share what we used to do if we are retired. It makes sense to identify significantly with our jobs. We spend a lot of time working through our lives, and our occupation shapes how we look at the world, at least in a significant way. Now, Jesus didn't have a job, maybe like we have jobs. Yes, he had experience as a builder, but at this point in his life, he was not employed like that. He's now a rabbi, a traveling Jewish teacher, going on the winds of the Spirit and finding support wherever he found it. The beauty of Capernaum is that it was something like a home base for him, and also for a number of his disciples. Yesterday, our session, that is our board of elders, met to work on planning for the church for this year. The question came up, how the community knows us as a church. How does the community know us? What are we known for? Well, in addition to food, but that's also an introduction thing, isn't it? That's also an introduction thing. We have introduced ourselves to the community over the years in different ways, at different times. Sometimes that introduction has been difficult, sometimes more of a blessing. And the community builds a picture not only of this church, but of every faith community. The community has an idea of who we are. The beauty of this, though, is that we also continue to introduce and reintroduce ourselves as we speak out in new ways, as we minister in new ways, as we represent Jesus in new ways. We are here, and how we are known to the community is our work, is our job, is our ministry, and it is vital how we are known to the community, because this is how well we are showing the face of God to our neighbor. When Jesus began to talk to the people there, they were astounded. The way he was talking and teaching was something they had never heard before. The scribes in Jesus' day were the ones who actually copied down the law of God. They made those copies, right? They wrote things out. So they were the religious authorities who were experts on the scripture, on the law. They interpreted God's story, but not like Jesus did. His truth was amazing. His truth was powerful. His truth was an introduction to God that they had not known. He was presenting God to them in a new way. To us, this really isn't a surprise because we know that he's the Son of God, you know? But notice, the people there didn't come to some new faith. No one suddenly became more faithful. They were just amazed. They were stunned. They were wowed and wondered. They still didn't understand what was going on. So that's why Mark also then tells us how Jesus confronts the very powers of evil head on. The introduction continues. When Jesus is telling them, what Jesus is telling them here is more than words. He's drawing lines between kingdoms, the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of God. He's the one with true power and authority. We understand what's happening, but those watching Jesus perform this great act of releasing this unclean spirit just continue to be amazed. And his fame spread across the region. And anyone that amazing was bound to become famous. Someone else who became famous, at least in the Colorado area, is Pastor Eli Regalado, who led a cryptocurrency scheme with his wife. And there's an idea. No, he did. He started a cryptocurrency exchange. It was a fraudulent thing for the church and the wider Christian community. Cryptocurrency is something like made up money that people trade like stocks. Okay, you may have heard of Bitcoin, but this one, the one he was doing, was next to worthless. Still, the pastor and his wife fraudulently made millions on their trading and lived a lifestyle to prove it. They did spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a remodel of their house because God told them to. In fact, it was God speaking to them that led them to try this get-rich-quick scheme. And Eli said he questioned why God would ask him to set up a cryptocurrency exchange since he had no real background or expertise. But he did what God told him to do. At least that's what the pastor is saying. He thinks he heard God's voice. He's not as sure now. But clearly, though, he was proclaiming a false gospel. You know, there has only been loss and heartache as a result. And yes, he's been charged. And Deuteronomy tells us God's judgment for false prophets. You'd better be really careful about how you speak for God, how you represent yourself on God's behalf. And of course, he was a fraud. Eli was a fraud. Jesus, on the other hand, now this is interesting. Jesus, on the other hand, was actually so careful that he didn't want anybody to talk about him. I know this doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense, but Mark's gospel is the gospel of secrecy. Time and time again, through Mark's gospel, Jesus is directing others to not share what happened or who they think he is. Don't say anything. That's one of the weirdest things about this gospel. You would think he would be delighted for people to express, to share, to speak the truth. But here in today's lesson, the demonic presence knows the truth and tries to express it, and Jesus has none of it. Be silent. Jesus is very concerned about how people know about him. He doesn't want people to get the wrong impression. He was not there just to work miracles. He was not there as someone known to unclean spirits. He was not there to be a prophet. He was not there to be a king. He was not known, really known, until he died on a cross and was resurrected. Then he could be actually known. Then he could be truly known. His victory on the cross introduced him to the world in a perfect way. His sacrifice introduced him through the heart of God. That journey to his death introduced God's heart to us all. Jesus is that heart. His words had beautiful consequences for us all today. His followers would have walked in that introduction ever since. Do you know the heart of God in Christ Jesus? Do you know? Let me help you see it. Yes. That's also our authority today. It's our introduction today. If we're just a church with a great organ, that only goes but so far. If we are just a church with a pretty building, a nice steeple, a so-so preacher, I'll give me so-so. That only goes but so far. If people know us in the history of this town and our struggle with racial reconciliation, that only goes but so far. If we are a church family living by the grace of God to celebrate God's goodness for us all in Christ Jesus our Lord, then that is something huge. Our introduction is our Savior. Our place in this community is by His invitation. Recently, I shared how I felt I was called to become a chaplain in the National Guard, and it didn't work out, and that was a real struggle for me because I really felt called to that service. But as I think about this now, it would have been difficult for me to be in the military at all. I admire you all who have been in the military. I think I would have had a hard time just blindly following orders, especially if I didn't agree with them. I do have a little bit of a stubborn streak, or an independent streak, as my wife will attest. And she's the only one that laughed at that. I would have had a hard time under that authority from someone else. But Jesus is, this is really cool though. Jesus' authority seems to me so much different though. You know? Where a human authority is about power and control, like we see so much in today's modern politics, Jesus is here. Jesus is here to free us to live more fully. He wants us to have life more abundant. He wants us to have eternal abundance in life. He wants to have life in eternal abundance together with all of God's children. We follow him because he frees us to be our best selves if we actually give ourselves to his introduction. Receiving his word gives us a place among the most prized creatures who've ever walked this planet. We are precious in God's sight because we have been invited to share in Christ. How will people know our church this year? How will people know you and me this year? How, you know, they may know our name. They may know where we're from. They may know what we do or what we did for employment. They may even know our family history, both the good and the bad. But will they know? Will they know how our lives and relationships and commitments have been redeemed by the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? Will they know? I dearly hope so. To God be the glory. Amen.